I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for May 20th, 2019 to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye? Absent. Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman? Absent. Mr. Lukey? Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
Mr. Frye and Mrs. Hussman are excused. There are five members of city council present, so a quorum does exist. We welcome all of you to our council chambers this evening. There are agendas on the two side tables, if you haven't found those yet, to pick one up. And if you have a question or would like to speak, please raise your hand and I will recognize you at the appropriate time in the agenda. At this time, please join us in our pledge of allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Lukey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, I have no items this evening. Mrs. Westfall?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to reschedule our meeting that we had on the calendar for discussion of the logo.
That was in a committee of the whole. Let's put that as 12A. Reschedule, committee of the whole, logo. Any other items from members of city council? Mrs. Capalini?
A comment about the art walk and pickleball event.
We'll make that 14. You distributed a card on it tonight. Any additional items from members of city council? Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Snore?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the agenda for this evening's meeting as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved. Agenda item four is approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting on May the 6th. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the Sylvania City Council meeting minutes for the meeting held on May 6th, 2019 as submitted.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the May 6th, 2019 meeting minutes as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Agenda item five, we are pleased to welcome back into our council chambers our town crier, Mike Lieber. Come on up, Mike. In his dashing new uniform.
Yes. The way I've had for years goes with the outfit. I wear this on special occasions. But if you want to take a look, there we go. This will go along with, goes with the black one I have, with the tall black hat. We replaced a maroon one coat I had before. And I've got partial funding, two-thirds funding, and I'm having trouble getting the other third. Just go over, you see under front of you, what we did last year for 2018. And at the beginning, there's seven parades that went in. And one of them, I'll mention, the Woodstock Holiday Parade up in Woodstock, Canada, was a good parade. It's a nice, long one. You never know what kind of weather you're going to get into up there. The other good one I've gotten started to, this was my third year last year, was that Toledo African American Parade that's held, I think, end of June or end of July down Door Street in Detroit. And the rest of the crowds, I think I got three or four missing from the list that came across recently. Then on the last page, it shows who the people helped me throughout the year. And I want to show appreciation that they get credit for it. That's a thumbs up for us. You might have any questions from anyone. I may not answer, but...
Michael, how long have you been our town crier?
I'm in my 24th year. And when I started this, I thought I was going to be doing it three, four, five times a year. And I've been averaging anywhere from 70 to 90.
Michael is our only town crier. He was brought up, we looked for a town crier when the sister city agreement was made with Woodstock because it was something we could share with the Canadians. And he has been our one and only town crier and done a terrific job of it.
Michael, I'm just curious how people find you. I mean, certainly we know how the people in the city of Sylvania find you, but you've got lots of places that are outside of the city.
I work it around on the internet, a website with the American Guild of Town Criers. But for me to go into another area where there's a town crier, I have to have his permission to go in. Or he can do it, or we do something together.
What was the cry for the royal wedding? I see here on 517.
Oh, out of curiosity. When they got married, had a cry.
Is that tradition or concept?
And then I went out in the area of town here, did a cry on it. And I tried to get into the Franklin Park Mall, but she wouldn't talk to me. I think she thinks I'm sort of a character or something. So I need to find somebody who knows her and can explain to her what I do. I try to respect her.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I didn't appreciate Mike until I got involved with Sister City, and I have to tell all of my fellow council members, Mike is a celebrity in Woodstock. They look forward to him coming in the parade. He's in one of the lead cars. Sometimes you're walking if it's nice, but I've been there when you've been in the lead cars. And the leadership in Woodstock just thinks that Mike is the coolest thing going. So I think that represents us well. He certainly does a great job here, but I think up in our sister city, he is really probably appreciated more, as much as anywhere else. So I want to thank you, Mike, for that.
Woodstock, talking about right now, finally hired another town crier. I think it's been 6, 7 years that they had a town crier left. And I've been working with the mayor up there talking. Every time I see him, I always mention about getting one. In our meeting in May here, 1st of May, he mentioned to me that to our group that he's going to start looking for a town crier.
That's great.
But as I stand right now, I will be doing our holiday Christmas tree lighting again and lead off their parade. Mm-hmm. And another thing I mentioned too, I always brought my book with you. I have a signal here, but nobody has the time to go through. So I thought it was a little different by putting it where you could just see what's in there. Thank you.
Michael, if you'd like, maybe you could leave your book in the mayor's office for a week or two, and if council's interested, they can come by and see it.
Okay.
Is that comfortable for you?
Can I leave it in the envelope?
Sure. We can carry it back to my office, and council members can come and have a look at it if they're interested. Thank you for coming for your annual report. Mike, we appreciate what you do for our community. Thank you so much. All right, we're now moved to agenda item 6. This is proposed ordinance 44-2019. This is an unusual situation in that it's an ordinance not prepared by the law director, but prepared by a member of council, Mr. Hanum, to amend the codified ordinances of Sylvania by adding section 537.21, parental rights relating to drug testing minors. Mr. Hanum.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I have a statement on the ordinance if you'd like to do, if I can present that in advance of introducing it or...
Sure, certainly.
Pursuant to Robert's rules, we could introduce it and then do it as part of comment. However you
I think in our council chambers, we oftentimes talk about it before it's on the floor. I just put it on the floor, so you're fine.
All right. And I will note that I provided a draft of the ordinance to our law director in advance of putting it forward, but tonight, before we put it forward tonight. Anyway, I do have a statement on the proposed ordinance addressing parental rights relating to drug testing minors. As you know, Sylvania Schools has adopted a policy of conducting random drug testing of the vast majority of the student body at Northview and Southview. Indeed, the only students that will not be tested are those who choose not to partake in any of the valuable coeducational programs that the schools provide and which are paid for by the taxes collected from Sylvania residents. The policy provides that all students are participate in extracurricular activities, clubs, co-curricular activities, graded by alternative assignment, such as band and choir, student drivers or student dance attendees are subjected to random testing for drugs and alcohol use, including nicotine and steroids. I'll be the first to tell you that I believe public schools should not conduct drug testing without probable cause, or at least a reasonable suspicion that the particular individual being tested is in fact using an illegal drug. I believe this policy violates the right to be free from search and seizure without warrant and the right to due process of law, as well as the 14th Amendment to our Constitution. I also understand that the United States Supreme Court has upheld drug testing for student athletes. To my knowledge, the Ohio Supreme Court has not ruled on the issue. But moreover, just as previous Supreme Court decisions on slavery, interracial marriage, tortured or tricked confessions, and various other topics have been overturned, I believe that random drug testing by public schools will also eventually be overturned. Nevertheless, just because something is legal doesn't mean it's good. Indeed, I suspect many who support this school policy would agree that recreational marijuana use, which is legal and permitted less than 5 miles from here in the state of Michigan, is not a good thing for high school seniors and other young adults. Similarly, I do not believe that random drug testing of the high school student body in Sylvania is a good thing. Moreover, I think the policy adopted by Sylvania schools is objectionable for reasons other than simply testing students for drug use. The Sylvania schools policy is particularly intrusive on the privacy of students. It's demeaning to students and I believe harmful to students. The policy establishes a collection process for the conduct of urine screens, the test method that will be implemented for the purpose of drug testing in the schools. The description of the process is detailed and is approximately 2 pages in length. It provides that students who have been randomly selected to be tested will be removed from class, ordered to report to the drug testing area. The policy is very specific about what can and cannot be admitted to the drug testing area, specifically excluding bags, backpacks, and purses. More significantly, the policy specifies that all coats, vests, jackets, sweaters, hats, and this is a, let me go back, this is a quote. All coats, vests, jackets, sweaters, hats, scarves, or baggy clothing must be removed before entering the collection area. Only pants and t-shirts or dresses may be worn in the collection area. Period, close quote. Effectively, this provision will require many students to disrobe before they enter the testing area. So a 14-year-old freshman girl who chooses to participate in choir, who happens on the day of the random test to wear a skirt and sweater to school, will be required to remove both before she's allowed to enter the collection site. Similarly, a girl who wears leggings and a tunic, a sweater or a billowy blouse will be required to remove her clothes before entering the collection area. According to the policy, only lab technicians, designated school administrators, and other students will be witnesses to this test. Specifically excluded are parents of the minors to be tested. So if being required to disrobe in front of these designated individuals is not sufficient humiliation, the student will be to be tested will then be asked to urinate directly into a collection cup given to her by a lab personnel. And again, I quote from the policy, quote, the lab technician will stand outside the stall and listen for the normal sounds of urination, close quote. Pursuant to the policy, students will be held in the sampling area for up to 2 hours out of class while they attempt to produce a sample. If after 2 hours they're unable to produce a sample, they will be barred from participation in any of the non-classroom educational activities provided by the schools until they produce a sample at some later date. The policy also provides that a student that tests positive will have to submit to 5 follow-up school drug tests at times to be determined by the district at the expense of the student's parent, guardian, or custodian, with no positive results before they can be reinstated for the non-classroom activities offered by the school. Let me repeat that. The policy expressly provides that, and I'll quote again, quote, in order for participation and privileges to be reinstated, the student must submit consecutive 5 follow-up drug tests at times to be determined by the district at the expense of the parent, guardian, custodian with no positive results. That applies to the first 2 times, the first year and the second year, that a student would test positive. The third year, they are permanently excluded from all those activities. In response to this, and in deference to the elected school board, the members of which are directly responsible for providing educational opportunities to the youth of Sylvania, I have determined to introduce legislation addressing parental rights relating to drug testing minors. The proposed legislation does not prohibit drug testing and does not dictate which educational programs Sylvania schools will offer to any of their students. The legislation which I am proposing is designed to protect minors and to require parents and legal guardians to be present during the implementation of any drug test to their minor children. It does not in any way limit the ability of the school system to impose any penalty on a student if they or their parents or guardian choose not to cooperate with the drug testing requirement. What the legislation does assure is that the 14-year-old girl in my example, who's required to disrobe in front of lab technicians, students, and school administrators, will have her mother present to observe and oversee the administration of the drug test. This is appropriate on many levels. First, a parent has a right to protect their child under the circumstances dictated under the policy. Second, penalties for positive drug tests are significant. The cost of 5 drug tests, plus the student's exclusion from everything other than classroom activities for at least 36 days, if not a year. Interestingly, those involved in sports would likely be excluded from their sport activities for less than 36 days, assuming they could find the opportunity to pass 5 drug tests in a quicker period. This policy ensures that even in the face of a positive drug test, the star quarterback or center on the basketball team will be eligible to return to the field of play well in advance of the time that an aspiring thespian will be allowed to return to school play practice. I would suggest that the Sylvania schools policy was ill-considered and it's not well understood by the school's current administrators and those who will be called upon to administer the tests. I expect that those associated with Sylvania schools will allege that my interpretation of their policy is overly draconian. I can assure you that is not the case. The provisions that we have discussed are derived right out of the language of the policy. I have noticed that in public, school representatives have downplayed the intrusiveness of the policy and the seriousness of the penalties provided for in the policy. I'm not sure if this is attributable to the fact that school officials are not familiar with the policy as it's been adopted, or rather it is an intentionally deceitful representation because they're embarrassed by what the policy provides, or whether there's an intent to deviate from the policy on unspecified terms and circumstances. But that's really irrelevant. The policy is what it is. I've discussed this policy with at least 2 members of the board and been clear that I would not object to the policy if parents had a right to opt out of their child's participation in random drug tests. That proposal has been at least ignored, if not rejected. At the end of the day, the policy must be evaluated on its face, as adopted, and promises or representations of changes to it without revisiting the policy in its entirety should be viewed as simply distractions. Moreover, to the extent that the schools suggest they would never require a minor student to disrobe to take the test, then one must ask what other provisions of the policy they will not implement. For example, will Johnny Touchdown, the star of the quarterback at Southville, be excluded from the random pool? Will athletes be permitted to practice with their teams during their two-week suspension, as was represented to parents last Thursday evening, while speech and debate kids will be barred from participating for 36 days? These two examples are also deviations from the existing policy that are objectionable on different grounds. Regardless, in my view, the policy must be evaluated based on what the school board adopted. Obviously, I believe implementation of the Sylvania Schools drug testing policy as adopted by the school board will permanently impact and damage students. But that's an issue that I will admit is within the purview of the board. On the other hand, protecting parents and their minor children in the city of Sylvania is within our purview as city council members. With that goal in mind, my proposed legislation would adopt a new provision of the Sylvania Municipal Code addressing parental rights relating to drug testing minors. It is simply a measured response designed to protect parents and their children. And Mr. Mayor, I would, procedurally, we don't have two members of council here tonight. I also don't want to suggest that we're going to ram this through. I would like our community to know what we're talking about and give them an opportunity to be heard on this. So my intent would be to do a first reading of the ordinance 44-219 this evening, and we can discuss it tonight. We could refer it to committee. We could address it in the next at our next meeting or the next two meetings, depending on how this proceeds. But my but I do think it's timely that we proceed with this so that the schools have sufficient time to if we act on this by the end of July or the end of June, they'll have sufficient time to adopt to the ordinance accordingly. So I will leave it to you as to how you want to proceed, whether you want to introduce the ordinance or have additional discussion now.
Because it's just a first reading, we should probably strike from the title and declaring an emergency.
I would do that.
And
although, I would, Mr. Mayor, I know in past circumstances where we've done first readings, we have not struck that language.
We just don't read it.
Because we don't read it, and then possibly, depending on where council is, we would make that determination at the next meeting to move forward with it or not.
That's correct. We're just not going to read it that way tonight. Normally in this situation, we appreciate your work and your presentation, but I think first city council members should be able to ask questions of you regarding this. And then we would go to the public to ask questions as well. So are there questions or comments from members of City Council? Hearing none, we have people here that I think would like to speak. Come on up to the podium. Tell us who you are, what your address is, and we welcome your comments.
So just to give you a little bit of information,
comments in regards to the drug testing, random student drug testing policy passed by the board after two meetings with a 5-0 vote from the Sylvania Board of Education back in April. I think it's important just to state and state strongly that drug use among high school students is a major concern for both educators and parents, and it's a reality in all of our communities, including Sylvania. The use of illegal substances can lead to harmful and even disastrous results for everyone involved, and I think we know that. So, you know, we've really looked hard at this issue as a school district over the years, and in the past 2 years, it's become more and more of a conversation amongst our high school administrators at our two meetings a month, and we've noticed with kind of an uptick of drug use as well as vaping, e-cigarettes, and Juuls, which are the newest things that we're seeing become a major issue in our schools, not only our high schools, but in our junior highs. We've really had to look hard at how we can continue to provide a healthy and safe environment for all students, and especially students who have the privilege to represent us either on the athletic field, in extracurricular activities, have the privilege to have a parking pass and drive to school, or to participate in functions like a student dance. Those are privileges. And students, in order to participate in those things, have to follow the rules, have to follow the code of conduct. So lots of discussion at administrative meetings led to some research in the area. We had an administrator come from a district right near us, Springfield Schools, who implemented this about 5 years ago, a similar policy, and saw a big impact at the high school level in Springfield. After doing our research, we found that in the Northern Lakes League, which Sylvania North and South were both in, we were one of two districts not doing random student drug testing. That would be Sylvania and Bowling Green. So looking at about a year-long process of study, talk with other administrators, committee work with our athletic directors, assistant superintendent, we talked to leaders of Perrysburg, Maumee, Anthony Lane, and other similar communities to ours to find out exactly how they implement this, the process that they move forward with to make it a comfortable setting for students, to make sure that students were safe, that it was run well, and that it had an impact on the kids and their choices. So after that, we met with three different vendors, ProMedica, Mercy, and Great Lakes Biomedical. And the committee had chosen to go with Great Lakes Biomedical, which is a company that really focuses on this and has about 150 school districts across the state of Ohio that follow the same process, and most in our area are with this company as well. So again, the purpose of random student drug testing is to really encourage the students who participate in athletic programs and extracurriculars to remain drug and alcohol free. And we believe that it will really have an impact on our kids and be very important as we move forward as a school district. All students will be treated equally throughout this process. So whether you're involved in a sport or a club, the consequences are the same. So we're looking to start this in the fall. The policy, again, has passed through the board and would start most likely in September. We hosted an evening the other night for parents to come and ask questions. Had about 40 parents who showed up. Great crowd, great questions. Not all of the parents there, it may have seemed like that, were against it. Many were for it. And I received lots of phone calls and folks who talked to me afterwards thanking us for moving this forward. It is the right thing to do for Savannah community. So here with me tonight are a couple of school board members, Julie Hoffman, Shannon Sikorsky, and then representatives from community groups who deal with this every day, from SCAC, and then Mr. Behigh as well, who is our drug use coordinator for the district. So it's just important, I think, that we're here tonight to show you that we believe this is a very good move for Sylvania schools, for the 7,900 students who are here in our growing community. We believe we've done it right. We've spent the time to choose the right company to help support us, as well as put a strong policy in place that will make a difference for our kids. So with that, I'll end my time. I believe maybe
if, if I may, before you leave the podium, and Mr. Hanem, this is directed to both of you. This is what you're proposing, the language to go into the Sylvania Codified Ordinances.
Correct.
And I don't see in here that a parent can opt out of the drug testing program.
That's correct.
What I do see here is a change in the collection policy. The 30 days notice would have to be given, and the parent would have the right to be present. That looks like the changes you're proposing.
No, there's no notice required to the student. There's notice to the parent.
Parent, okay.
So that they have time to be there.
All right. Then that question to you is, does that, in your mind, a workable collection process, or does that disable the testing process?
I would say that it would disable the testing process in the fact that I think the whole idea of it is to be a random student drug test. Students aren't aware that they would be chosen. It's done very randomly. It isn't you just pick the certain athletes that we want and so on. There is a random selection process that is set up by Great Lakes Biomedical to do that. And you do that on the day of the testing, the students are called down. And just a point of clarification earlier, I heard something, I think, in the policy. We do have the students can be out for 4 or 2 hours if needed, but the typical time they're out of class is about 15 minutes.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, could I ask a question? Just as a point of information, who actually physically drafted this policy? And I guess what I'm trying to understand is this, is it customized to Sylvania? Is it boilerplate from the vendor? How did we get to this particular set of language?
Sure, it's a mix of those. We did a lot of research from local school districts and kind of pulled language that we think could work for us, and our committee drafted it together with the advice of Amy Natajak, who's here as our attorney tonight from Marshall Melhorn, who has done research with lots of school districts around the area and advised other districts on it.
So it very much had an in-house touch to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This became Sylvania's policy. This isn't verbatim what is in Perrysburg or Maumee or Anthony Lane, but I can tell you that there's a lot of great ideas out there that we were able to seek out and use that we know work. I've had many conversations with local superintendents, Mr. Hosmer in Perrysburg, Mr. Kramer in Maumee, who are very big proponents of this and have seen great results with their other schools.
Okay, thank you.
I have one question for you. What sort of outreach, you talked about outreach to a lot of people outside of Sylvania. What sort of outreach to Sylvania residents and parents did you have in advance of adopting the policy?
You know, I think there was some discussion with parent clubs and groups at the high school level. Nothing formal to the whole community in Sylvania, but you know, lots of talk internally amongst teachers, among staff, parent groups at the high schools. I would say that would be...
I would say, I'll just note, I learned about this on a Facebook post after it was done, and I've looked at your agendas, and your agenda, I know that, and your agendas are a lot different than ours in terms of ability to understand what exactly is being considered and discussed. Looking at those agendas, I couldn't determine what you were considering, but... I'm not the most intelligent reader of your agendas, I'm sure.
Just for my understanding, is there a separate policy or that the schools have that's mandatory drug testing for cause? What do you do if you think that a student is taking drugs?
So typically that goes through like our SROs at the high school.
Okay.
For suspect, and then there's certain procedures with search and so on.
And that's been going on for years, I would assume. So the change is this random drug testing.
The piece is the change, and I think it's to really elevate the importance of having a drug and alcohol-free environment. I think with the, again, uptick of what we've seen in the schools with vaping and e-cigarettes and some of the other things that have really become quite a big issue for our high schools, this was the right time.
All right, thank you.
How many kids are you going to test? How many kids are you going to test?
Well, each drug test time, we have the way it's set up is we can do 20% of the students who do that. We're looking at doing it twice a month, starting in September, throughout the year. And it'll just be determined, you know, with the high school administrators, common day. We're looking, you know, anywhere from, you know, I think maybe 15 to 30 each time, each high school. We have the ability to do more, but some of those things are going to kind of weigh out within the first year.
So you do 15 to 20 twice a month?
That's the team.
All right. Would anybody else like to come to the podium? Again, please give us your name and address.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me off us, actually. My name is Lee Navishak. I'm a lawyer with Marshall and Melbourne. My address is 4CA84, Toledo, Ohio, 43604. I am also a resident of Toledo, 2005 Mount Vernon Avenue, East Toledo. I'm here representing the Sylvania School District this evening. You heard from Dr. Finesse about some of the basics of the policy. I would ask to come and address some of the legalities. I think those are some of the questions also that come up besides the practical questions. I think starting off maybe with following up to one of Mr. Hayden's comments, he said, just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right. Could you read more? That is true. And yet, we are a land of laws. And yet, we are a land of legal precedent. And if we have legal precedent to move forward with things, especially when that precedent comes from the United States Supreme Court, we do feel empowered that it is likely a good thing to do and a decent thing to do. I recognize Mr. Haney's arguments about slavery and others. I don't think that is applicable here if we are talking about something entirely different. In terms of legal precedent here, the most recent case from the Supreme Court that really hits this point is a 2002 case. So the point that Mr. Kane was trying to make, I believe, was that this would change, and he in fact believes that this law will be overturned. And yet it's the United States Supreme Court back in 2002 that made this decision. So 17 years this has been in place. Now tens of thousands of school districts across the country are random drug testing. As Dr. Finesse said, 150 districts just in Ohio, just with Great Lakes Biomedical. I don't know of all of the others. I couldn't find that exact data. The point being, this is entrenched in our society. It's entrenched in the law. Our courts have recognized it since then. And since 2002, the Supreme Court has been relatively quiet on it because it's set a law in the Supreme Court. But lower courts have not been quiet on it. They have had lots of cases that have come up through folks who have had good faith disagreements with the law, and they have challenged these policies over and over and over. Courts all across the country have addressed these issues. Those decisions are how we got the Earls decision. That's that 2002 United States Supreme Court decision expanded. So just quick legal history here on this. It goes way back, but I'll start relatively recently. 1995, the United States Supreme Court, in a case called Veronia, allowed student athletes, to be randomly drug tested. That was it, athletes. And the court had very specific reasons why. They're all stated in there. I won't bore you with all of that, but I think they're extremely relevant. 2002, 7 years later, is this Earls decision. That's the United States Supreme Court saying, yeah, we acknowledge Veronia and that random drug testing, and in fact, we expand it. And we say that students who are in extracurricular and co-curricular activities can also be randomly tested. Now, I think there's been a reference at some point in discussion, not necessarily tonight, to the fact that court spoke to the word competitive, had to be competitive extracurricular activities, and I would say to you that don't get too hung up on that word. There's a real question on whether whether that exact word was in any way the impetus or thrust behind that decision. Many of the courts later kind of opined that the word was, you know, perhaps not used in the traditional sense that we would think of it, because some of the examples of the extracurriculars that the Supreme Court allowed were band, choir, competitive, I suppose, future farmers of America, future homemakers of America, coming up with. I think I'm going to include everybody who parks here. You know, that is the court who decided that. He said, yes, we're going to include that in the privilege because it goes to help the city, which I'll get to the picture in a second. Dances, school dances, that is not something these folks drummed up. That is not something all of the other districts that have these policies drummed up. That is the law. That is what the courts say. And legal precedent matters. And we should, as a country, be able to rely on these decisions and make policy based on these decisions. So again, I wanted to address that at that point generally. The big picture, to focus on what a school district's responsibility is. As you know, not in any way to talk down to any of you, but it is, and what they're thinking about all the time is the health, safety, welfare, well-being of these students. Yes, it's to educate them, of course, but it is also and primarily to keep in mind their health, safety, and welfare. That is their statutory obligation, that is their moral obligation, that is what they have to be doing every day. So this policy stays right in it, but also the thrust behind it is that health, safety, welfare. It is also a deterrent. The idea is that it is also a deterrent. And other reasons are listed within the actual policy that you see that. But this policy is a furtherance of that. As far as the legal basis for the ordinance itself, I want to make sure we're on the record at the outset saying is the school board opposes the ordinance, believes it is not legally viable or sustainable, does not have legal support. I think Mr. Hamm, even in his own presentation, by saying that just because it is legal, doesn't mean it's not right. In other words, the policy is legal. The ordinance, I know no legal precedent of the kind of ordinance you're talking about here. In fact, the ordinance, and specifically the language in the proposed resolution that I was given, I don't know if it's necessarily something that goes with the ordinance, it is the polar opposite and flies in the face of the United States Supreme Court decisions that have been good and well settled law for the last 17 years, and in the other case, 25 years. So, the board opposes the ordinance for those reasons. It does not have legal support. We believe that it would be legally challenged, and we believe that the ordinance would not be sustainable. Let me hit just indulge me a couple of points here. Reasonable suspicion, you know, we talked about that, yeah, talked with Vanessa about that. Yes, those searches remain the same. Those have been going on for decades, for as long as any of us have been around. If there is reasonable suspicion for a search, those will go on as they always have, with the same policy, the same compliance with the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution and with the law. That doesn't change whatsoever in terms of what's going on at Sylvania schools. The policy, there's a question about whether this policy was kind of boilerplate or whether it was tailored to Sylvania. Dr. Vanessa answered right on. I also want to let you know the policy is really closely matched to lots of policies across the state and the country. Not verbatim. I think everybody has different comfort levels of how they want to think, but within, absolutely within the Supreme Court's description of reasonable guidelines of what can be done in terms of searches. I specifically want to talk about, from a legal standpoint, a couple of the intrusiveness issues that Mr. Hannon brought up, because these are really important. First of all, even though we were, you know, I guess kind of quoted the policy, I think you really need to read this policy in context to get into this intrusiveness interpretation Mr. Cannon has, which with all due respect, I think is extreme. I mean, he said, hey, they're going to say it's extreme.
That's what I expect, yeah.
Well, because with all due respect, it is. And here's why. Page 3 of the policy, the school board policy, it's on page 4. This is what Mr. Hannon read. No bags, backpacks, purses, cups, containers, or drinks will be allowed to enter the collection area. I ask my law enforcement folks on this and say, of course. You're not going to be bringing in bags and that type of thing. The next section, or sentence, all behind the quote that is out of there. Out of there, really, the things that we're down to common sense here and not tortured interpretations. We are talking about being able to conceal something coming in. We're not making up these rules for the first time. Great Lakes Biomedical, who does this, understands that folks might try to game the system. That's how things work. Communities might try to find a flaw in the program. I don't know if any of you are familiar with drug testing in the employment setting. It's all the same kind of rules there. They're not going to let you bring in hoodies and bags and jackets and whatever into your collection site. That's all. The word disrobe was something that this committee used multiple times here. That word does not appear in this policy. That is not a fair representation. It's not an accurate representation. There will be no disrobe. Outer garments will be removed. That's common sense. To do otherwise, we really need to negate the veracity of the results. It also says right in the policy, privacy must be kept for all students. Another, I think it's in the resolution, and Mr. Hain referenced it tonight, is that, I think it says the resolution listed, the individual being listed outside for the sound of urination or whatever. It does say listen. Mr. Hanum's document says observe. And here, the bottom of the resolution in the 5th, whereas, while the lab technician observes the collection process sufficiently, there's no.
You should read the whole sentence.
I wouldn't have to do that. I just want to do third time. I wanted to be clear, listening only. The word observe that you have does not appear in the policy. So what your whereas says, the drug testing policy provides the student subjected to a test will be given a collection cup by a lab technician and directed to urinate directly into the collection cup while the lab technician observes the collection process sufficiently to hear normal sounds of urination. You have to hear normal sounds. The word observed in there, I think, can be a little inflammatory. The word observed does not appear in the policy. Policy states the lab technician may stand outside the stall and listen for normal sounds of urination. I'm going to start here. That is a pleasant thought. However, Judge Clarence Thomas, in the United States Supreme Court decision, specifically said that, furthermore, the intrusiveness of obtaining your examples under the randomized drug testing policy was found to be negligible, since the conditions of collection were nearly identical to those encountered in public restrooms. So they're saying, you know, these kids do have to go in, subject themselves to giving a urine sample behind a stall where a lab technician is standing out there waiting, as they are for thousands of kids, tens of thousands of kids across the country. And the Supreme Court even drilled down to that to say, it's both being in a public restroom. Well, that is kind of giving a urine. I can't believe I'm talking about this with those words in this honor chambers, but here I am. People can hear in a public restroom what your business is and what's going on. The Supreme Court said this is no different than that in terms of intrusiveness. Parental rights. You mentioned parental rights multiple times, Mr. Hey. Human. Most all of us here probably are adults or parents. We respect and believe that we have a number of rights with regards to our kids. The interesting thing is, though, that on this topic, the Supreme Court has remained silent, has not, while it has gone out of its way to allow this kind of drug testing, it has not stated whatsoever that the parent has a concurrent right, a similar kind of right. With respect to notice of the product, there is no legal precedent for that. It doesn't exist. I mean, unless if you have it, I miss it, and I would welcome to see that. But I don't believe that it does. These cases don't address that. And as far as the notice, and I agree that the proposed ordinance really the departure from the code of
Because they wouldn't do drugs during the 30 days? Is that why?
For whatever reason, Mr. Hanna, you decide, I think I would leave that to the experts to say.
Well, you said, you specifically said it would negate. Why? Because the student would stop using drugs.
My argument would be that it is possible that a student or an employee or whoever else might be drug tested on any given day, if they were using, might be knowledgeable enough to choose to cease during the time that they might be tested.
And the school board's opposed to that?
I think you are pulling out a nugget or a morsel.
Oh, I am. You're absolutely right. Because there are a lot of nuggets in here.
And I think, though, in the act of doing that, you miss the greater benefit that Dr. Knessy talked about and that others across the country and our own Supreme Court have found to be of great importance. So, and that's, you know, that.
I think that this has been a very good and informative presentation, but it's getting into a detail perhaps more than we need right now. I do have a question that comes back at you, because all the Supreme Court cases and other cases you have that validate the right of the school board to do the random drug testing, do they specifically endorse this collection method? Or are they right to have no notice and the way that the school board's proposing it? Or is this new ground that Mr. Hanum, I think you just said a minute ago, that it's new ground that he's bringing this up.
Right? Those issues are not, that notice proposal is absolutely not in any law that I have seen anywhere. You know, again,
and not discussed in a court case. Okay.
In fact, and to answer your question, is this procedure, this kind of process, is it approved or is it something that the court said is acceptable? The answer would be, the court didn't get into the detail of this kind of policy. However, your analysis certainly was that, you know, the understood drug test while breathalyzers.
And you're correct. The city does random drug testing of its employees as well. I'm also informed by our law director that this drug policy would affect all minor employees that are employed anywhere in the city, not just school students, but any drug testing of minors in the city. If they are on working for Orlando Park or something like that, they could be subject to this kind of testing and this kind of rule as well.
I would agree with that.
All right.
Ms. Anishak, is Ms. Hoffman wearing a sweater today?
She is.
Okay, thank you.
And I think I can extrapolate what that is about, and I can state that there is no intention that anyone would be asked to disrobe with that kind of sweater. There would be.
But that's what the language of the policy provides.
I think that's how you interpret it. I think the way that the district would choose to enforce it is what is relevant here, and I think they would choose a reasonable approach if there was never an intent of a strict search.
Let me just read from their policy. All sweaters must be removed before entering the collection area. But you'd make an exception for Mrs. Hoffman, is that correct?
Not for Mrs. Hoffman, for anyone who...
What other exceptions will you make to the policy? It is, because that's relevant. The point is, that's the language of the policy that has been adopted. And I have nothing to go on. I understand your good intentions. I don't doubt your good intentions. But I also understand what the policy provides for. And you don't disagree that the policy provides that sweaters, like the one being worn by Ms. Hoffman, by its terms, would have to be removed.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Mr. Lukey.
It's pretty clear after almost an hour into this that this is a complicated and nuanced issue. I don't particularly want to litigate it here tonight, because we have other things to do. However, it's important for our community. So I just want to make sure that if what we're doing tonight is a first reading, that council will have an opportunity subsequent to tonight to refer this to a committee or a committee of the whole, so that those of us who feel the need to get educated further can have an hour or two to have conversation with representatives of the district or representative of drug enforcement or drug prevention organizations to just really get a handle on this. Mr. Fineski mentioned a couple of drugs that I have to go to school on because I've never heard about them before, right? So the question is sincere. Do we have the ability to put it into committee at some point after tonight?
Absolutely. Even if there's a first reading tonight, you can still refer it to committee, and that is normal procedure. I would recommend you do that.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting we do it tonight because I think our colleagues need to be here, but I would like to reserve the right to do it perhaps after the second, as we do a second reading.
That sounds appropriate.
Okay. And that said, I appreciate Ms. Natashek's comments, and if you have anything else to finish up, that's fine, but let's move on.
Thank you for your comments. We do have two esteemed members of the school board here tonight. We appreciate your attendance and welcome you to the podium if you're so inclined.
I have a question. Just administratively, could you or would you, as the school board, be open to looking at some of the specifics in this policy that's been called out and changing them before the start of next school year?
I mean, I can't speak for the whole.
How about for yourself then? How about
yeah,
that?
I certainly would.
Okay. Because I do agree with Mr. Hanum on parts of this that I have no doubt in the way you will implement them, and I know you personally and a lot of the others professionally, and I know that they're not going to strip search a student, but I still do agree that that's what the language does say could happen. And in 10 to 20 years down the road, the school board and administration can look very different, and it makes me very uncomfortable with that. And the language down where it says students processed by the lab technician who cannot produce a sample will be kept in a secured area to wait until they can test. If they leave this area, they'll not be allowed to test, and they are not allowed to have contact with anyone until after a sample is given. That sounds like detainment to me. So there's a couple of these, like, this is an example, but there's a couple of these, like, little tiny, maybe rewordings that I don't know if we can handle without a passing of an ordinance or.
I think you can do it, yeah, no problem. I mean, I appreciate constructive criticism, and I'm sure it's not perfect. It's kind of a first shot at it, so.
But logistically, that would be allowed by the school board as far as your policies go, or as could be for anybody. Do you guys know? Or?
I mean, I guess it's kind of weird since you're a board, but you're all citizens and you're all welcome to come.
Yeah. But you can change this policy, that's my question, legally, before the start of the school.
Yeah.
Sure.
My lawyer.
Well, we're here.
Yes, we could. I think what's important, what I would like to say, and I've heard everything you said, and I've seen other things on Facebook also, that, you know, we are about keeping kids safe. And this policy is about giving them a reason to say no. No one's being stretched. No one's disrobing. This sweater is not the same as a baggy sweater I've been wearing over, which I would have to take off. And in my other job as a lawyer, I work with people who have to get drug tested. And they're not detained. Like, if you can't produce a sample and I have people do this, we don't want them to. You don't want me to go hire them and say, hey, can you please go, you know, so I get her urine and I come and drop it off. We want to keep kids safe. That's what we want to do. We don't want to humiliate kids. We don't want kids dying. We don't want kids drinking alcohol.
Nobody does.
I mean,
and that's and don't suggest that I don't suggest that by opposing, excuse me, don't suggest that by opposing what I think on its face is a poorly written policy that dictates severe punishment of the kids. And you know, you're going to test 20 kids twice a month. You know, the odds of being positively tested are next to zero, and yet the individuals that do get caught get whacked really hard. I mean, excluding the kids from all your activities, except for classroom activities, all those activities that we support with taxes, that we support you, the reason we moved to Sylvania so our kids could go here, you just take those all away. And the, I mean, there are, we can, we will talk about more details on this, okay? But you would agree that you're wearing a sweater and you can't wear that in the collection area unless you deviate from the policy. Well, I'd like to know how, why your sweater is okay and the next sweater isn't, and how you're going to decide that. Because I agree, and you know, the part of this is, you know, you didn't give us an opportunity to critique this in advance.
Yeah.
This was very, very quietly adopted. I sent a copy of the ordinance to Steve Rothschild directly and told him.
I'm telling you, absolutely.
No, obviously people have come. And we're not adopting it, and we're not adopting it tonight. We're specifically not going to adopt it tonight so that we have opportunity. And believe me, I've been in touch with the Blade today, and they're going to write a nice article on this so that next time we'll have all the people who want to be here will be able to be here and hear about your policy and what my objections and what our concerns are with the policy, and we will be able to hear from the public.
I mean, I think you have some valid concerns, and I think we can change the language. Have you spoken to any students about this in here?
I talked to a few Thursday night.
Okay, I spoke to quite a few, and they just don't, there's not this fear that, I mean, I took my own kids, I have a sophomore, and he was all for it. He's like, I don't see what the big deal is. I have a very interested female girl. She's like, yeah, like it's just not a big deal. I don't know, you're making it out to be a very big deal, and that these kids are going to be fun somehow. I mean, I was talking to, you know, the private school's past for a bit, and I talked to a lot of private school parents, and they're just like, I don't understand the problem. I was like, well, I was in this meeting, they're like,
yeah, you know, if I could say.
I think we need to pretty soon move on here.
Because you keep saying it's our policy, okay? And it is our policy. And, you know, I didn't know about your ordinance until I heard about it from one of my colleagues. So it wasn't sent to us. I didn't see it out on Facebook. And, you know, we're not going to,
You will in the next couple of weeks, trust me. That wasn't my goal either.
Well, it's essentially what's happening here.
That's your choice.
Well, wait, let me just, I think it's important, because we don't come very often to your board meetings, you don't come here. Let's talk about the process. We will, and I guarantee that we will, before we vote on this finally, have a series, one or more public meetings that are heavily promoted. Okay, we go out of our way when we know that we have a controversial issue to make sure the public knows about that, because otherwise at the back end we pay the price, right? So it's self-preservation to do it that way. And in Mr. Hanum's defense, I learned about this drug policy when I read about it for the first time in the newspaper on April 25th. And my understanding is that that was after you approved the policy, right? I'm a pretty connected guy in Slovenia. I didn't hear about this until I read it in the paper. Okay, so I think Mr. Hanum's point is well taken. The part that I appreciate is that if council does do its discovery and does understand that there are two or three things that we feel are a little extreme in your policy, that you're willing to hear what we have to say and potentially consider some changes, right? I heard you say that. And so that's helpful. I don't think any of us particularly want to take it to a piece of legislation that we're not happy about. If we can feel that there are some other options for that, that's very helpful for us as individual council members. So I think just that's encouraging to me.
Yeah, and I just want to know for the record, I mean, I've been a strong supporter of Savannah schools for a long time. I mean, in addition to having a wife who served 12 years on the board and routinely being an outspoken supporter of your efforts in the schools. This, it's not like I have a vendetta with the schools. I'd love to see this fixed. And I've told Shannon this, and I've told Steve Rothschild this, I think if you have parents who are really opposed to this and they could opt out of this policy, I wouldn't have any issue with it whatsoever. That's one suggestion that I would like you to consider. But beyond that, believe me, we will have public input. It's always been my intent, never intended to just slip this by and pick a fight with a school district that I think is excellent and does a great job for our community. I think everybody on this council believes that. That doesn't mean I don't have concerns with this specific policy.
And that's not what Mr. Hanum's written in our ordinances. It's in his front end, but it's not in this. Yeah, but that's right. Not what he's proposing here. And I think it's very constructive what Mr. Richardson said, and Shannon, you've agreed to talk about maybe modifying some of the language. I can see it over the sweater question that's been brought up. You add the words, or any clothing that could be used to conceal a false sample. Just explain why the words are there, and that makes it far more, and that kind of work needs to be done in our committee structure, not in an open council meeting. We've gone beyond what we normally do in a council meeting, though the council president would like to say something, I believe. Okay. So I would recommend that we have your first reading and perhaps set a committee meeting, or we can wait to the next council meeting if you want, where the other two members are back.
Yeah, I think
so that everybody can be, and it can be committee of the whole, or it can be safety committee, from my perspective.
Yeah, and since Mr. Fry is chairman of safety committee, we should have him be here to.
I agree.
Yep. I agree with that.
All right.
So, Mr. Mayor, do you have anything more to say? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
I apologize. I didn't put it out there on fire too. Vote. I mean, honestly, I had no idea there would be this much of a pushback. I think drugs are a big deal. I didn't think this was a big deal. People have been asking forever. I felt like there was finally getting something that had been asked for. So I just want to say we're trying to be more communicative.
That's perfect. That's the way the system should work.
Thank you.
Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 44-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only for a first reading. Amending the codified ordinances of Sylvania 1979 as amended by adding section 537.21, parental rights relating to drug testing minors.
Thank you. No further action tonight. It will show in the meeting minutes as a first reading only. And for your understanding, the point of a first reading is that if something can pass this council with a simple majority of four votes, if we have three readings, it takes five members of council to pass it as an emergency. But he has committed at least not to pass it tonight.
Right.
He has said earlier that he could go for passage in 2 weeks, or he can have his third reading 4 weeks from tonight. We meet the first and third Monday nights of June. First and third Monday nights of June. Thank you for coming. We appreciate
it. Mayor, I believe we need a second.
No, I don't think so.
On a first, we have historically. But that's fine. If we don't need one, I'm good with that.
No, it will show as the first reading.
Okay.
Thank you for your coming and all the information you brought with us. We appreciate what you do for Sylvania. Our schools are the most important institution in the community. And as you have said, it is why people come to Sylvania. It's why my parents came to Sylvania. It's why people keep coming. So thank you for your hard work. Deb, you're going to have to come up to the podium. I'm sorry. That's the rules. You've got to come to the podium. You can come up, but you got to come up.
Charged with ensuring a safe and supportive environment.
with our children so they can learn and reach their full potential. And this includes taking measures to prevent mass alcohol and drug use in our students. Our school across the country has responsibility to protect our students, and when they are in their care, that's what we expect. The schools should not wait until the problem arises, but rather ensure the safety of all of our students. And this is a preventive method that the school should have at their discretion. We look at this as a tool. We don't look at this as a punitive method. We look at this that if somebody does test positive, we think we can have early intervention. Its research shows that on the average, it's 2 years before a family knows if their son or daughter has been involved with drugs or alcohol, and that can be proven many, many times. And it's heartbreaking for the parents to realize the kids have been able to do this without them being detected. And so we can have earlier intervention. We have those resources here. From the National Institute of Health, which is the NIH, and the National Institute of Drug Abuse, which is NIDA, they have shown one of the United States' best programs for random school drug testing reports behind in 20 to 28 drug use categories between the years of 1997 and 99. And during a 2 year lapse in testing from 2002 until 2002, due to litigation, the school reported rapid increases in problems associated with substance using and school sponsored activities, with corresponding decreases in the program was reinstated. So I think there's evidence that this can work, and we can make it work and be effective for our students and be a tool. It's not, it's a tool for the safety of our children and for our parents to help our kids, but also peer pressure is another reason kids can use this. So we need to give money to those people. That's our job. Our job is to be good stewards of our kids, whether you're a community member, an adult, or you're a parent.
Okay, thank you. I think this city council and this city have long stood in support of your mission by participation and funding and on many levels. But thank you for all you've done. All right, we're going to move on in the agenda. Thank you for being here. You're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, however. All right, we are now going to move on to agenda item 7, which has to do with the city's installation of a sanitary sewer pump at the Centennial Crossings subdivision. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The pumping station that serves the Centennial Crossings and Mayberry development was initially a private pumping station, was brought in as a public pumping station last year in 2018. That pumping station is in need of replacement, and we had initially planned to do that in 2018, towards the end of 2018. That project didn't get completed for a variety of issues. One, trying to modify the existing station design. Two, there was a new expansion of the subdivision and a lot of construction already in the area. We chose not to stack on top of that. So we did not complete the project in 2018. Unfortunately, we did not carry that project over into the 2019 capital improvement budget. But we do have a project that was included in the 2019 budget that's come in substantially lower than the original estimate. And therefore, the difference to our budgeted dollars would essentially be a net zero difference in the funds budgeted. And also, had we completed the project in 2018, we would have spent the funds from the capital budget at that time. So it's just a little bit of a delay in when the funds actually be spent. We would request approval to move forward and purchase the Gorman Rock Pumping Station from Crown Leaving in the amount of $49,890, and so that we can get this project done this summer.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. There are two ordinances to get this done. First is to purchase the pumping station. The second is to install it. Ordinance 45 is to purchase it. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 45-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Accepting the proposal of the Crown Leaving Company for the purchase of the Gorman Ruck above-ground self-priming packaged pump station, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $49,890, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
It's moved and seconded that ordinance number 45-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 45-2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 45-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 45-2019 is approved. Mr. Aller, any comments about United Precast and their installation proposal?
Just United Precast is a long-term installer of the Gorman Ruck Station. I've been involved in several projects with them and would recommend approval of a contract with United Precast in the amount of $16,177 for the installation. Any items that are indicated as not included in their quote, our field staff will be performing those functions. So we will take care of those items.
Kevin, you noted that the that with the first ordinance that there was a cancellation balancing out of the budget. Is this $16,000 within that balance? That's
yes.
Net zero? Thank
yes.
you.
Mrs. Westfall, ordinance 46.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 46-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Accepting the proposal of United Precast, Inc. for the installation of the Centennial Crossings Pump Station, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $16,177, waiving the second, third reading, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's moved and seconded that ordinance number 46-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 46-2019.
It is moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 46-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 46-2019 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 8, we have proposed ordinance 47-2019. This is a permissive license plate fee that we have discussed at previous meetings that has been allowed by the state ordinance, the change in state law that raised the gas tax. This is a $5 permissive fee. It by the state legislation requires three separate meetings, readings, and it cannot be passed tonight. All we can have is a first reading tonight. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 47-2019 for a first reading. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. An ordinance to levy a municipal motor vehicle license fee pursuant to Ohio Revised Code section 4504.173.
That's all the action required for this evening. The records will show that we had a first reading for ordinance 47-2019. It will be on again at the first and then the third Monday night council meetings of June. Moving on to agenda item 9. To change the codified ordinance sections 925 and 929. These have been discussed in committee. These change the sewer regulations and the sewer service charges. Any further discussion or questions that you've received, Mr. Aller?
No.
Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 48-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Amending Chapter 929, Sewer Regulations of the Sylvania Codified Ordinances 1979 as amended, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Moved and seconded that ordinance number 48-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 48-2019.
It is moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 48-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 48-2019 is approved. On to agenda item B, ordinance 49. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 49-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Amending chapter 925 sewage service charges of the Sylvania Codified Ordinances 1979 as amended, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that ordinance 49-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 49-2019.
It is moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 49-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 49-2019 is approved. Agenda item 10, changes our ditch special assessments. Again, this has been discussed in a couple of committee meetings. It has been modified to have two different sized residential lots, and then we've discussed with you how it affects some businesses and some residents more than others, depending on front foot versus pavement area, hard surface areas. This is, as a result of all the input we've got, Mrs. Westfall, ordinance 43.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 43-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Providing for the construction, maintenance, repair, cleaning, and enclosing open drainage ditches located within the corporate limits of the City of Sylvania. Authorizing the Director of Public Service by and through the proper officers of said city to do said work during the year 2019. Establishing one district for said purpose in accordance with the provisions of Section 727.012 of the Revised Code of Ohio. Providing for the assessment of the cost and expense thereof upon abutting property, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It is moved and seconded that ordinance number 43-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 43-2019.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 43-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 43-2019 is approved. Going to the second page of our agenda, agenda item 11, an update on the Fondren property zoning ordinance amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have again reached out to Mr. Fondren, and he assures me he is continuing to wait for the drawing from his engineer. So nothing further at this time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Agenda item 12, committee reports. We've added 12A to reschedule the committee of the whole to discuss the city logo. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry that we needed to reschedule this meeting, but I do ask that we consider rescheduling this for Monday, June 3rd at 5:45. Again, this is so that we can have a discussion of the logo with Danny Fuller.
Are we sure that
I asked them to let me know if they would not be able to make that meeting, and neither of them did. So, 5:45.
June 3rd.
Prior to our city council meeting in this room.
At 5:30?
5:45.
Okay, that takes a motion and a second. It's a committee of the whole.
Good thinking. I will make a motion for a committee of the whole meeting to be held on Monday, June 3rd at 5:45 in council chambers for further discussion on the logo.
Second. Moved and seconded to schedule the committee of the whole meeting to discuss the city's logo update on June 3rd at 5:45 in these council chambers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the clerk will post that meeting. Any other committee referrals or committee reports to be made at this time? Moving on to added agenda item 14, Mrs. Capolini asked to talk about the Friday night art walk.
I just wanted to take a moment to bring to your attention this first and unique partnership between Sylvania Area Joint Recreation District and the Downtown Sylvania Association. And so the pickleball club and the administrators from Sage Art have been working with the DSA to bring a fairly high-level tournament-like atmosphere to the art walk. There'll be bleachers out with the Dora. There'll be beer. There'll be food carts. And the idea was to bring two unique and special things about Sylvania together and make them each aware of each other. So we're bringing all the pickleball players downtown and also making sure that the downtown Sylvania people know about our really amazing six new pickleball courts. So it's going to be a really fun night. I encourage you all to come. That's it.
Sounds terrific. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Mrs. Westfall.
Redbird Athletic Department, is that new?
That's just a plan.
Okay.
That was just to make it fun.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. That brings us to the end of our approved agenda. The only informational items tonight are the reports of the Architectural Board of Review and the Municipal Plan Commission from last Wednesday. We are at no further business. Is there a motion to adjourn?
No move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting 2 weeks from tonight on Monday, June 3rd at 7:30 p.m. in these chambers. Thank you all for attending.